This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Catherine Lanford, in for Adore Udoji, who's on assignment.
Catherine, you know, remember back to the mid-90s. Can you do that for me?
Hang on.
Back then, those were the days you could get your coffee fixed from wherever you wanted, because Starbucks, remember back then, was everywhere.
Can I help you?
I'd like to get my ear pierced.
Well, better make it quick, kiddo. In 5 minutes, this place is becoming a Starbucks.
Of course, The Simpsons, talking about Starbucks being worked well into the culture. Just a few weeks ago, the company announced it would be closing hundreds of stores across the nation. Of course, Starbucks is still around. Big deal, you might say. But there's already a nostalgia for what Starbucks created. Phil Vitale's a restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Phil, not only are people in Chicago worried and disappointed, they're trying to campaign, save our Starbucks. What's that all about, Phil?
There is a national campaign called Save Our Starbucks. They have a website and everything, which is simply saveourstarbucks.com. And they are, for some areas, they think the loss of a Starbucks is a very bad thing, and they're trying to persuade the company to rethink some of these decisions.
Now, hang on a minute. I thought that, you know, indie coffee stores everywhere, I thought they were the ones with websites. Why do we need to save a Starbucks?
Well, that's a good point, but in some areas, there aren't a lot of indie coffee spots, and for some areas, a Starbucks means jobs and opportunities that previously didn't exist.
And you're right, Phil, to pay $7 or $10 or even $12 for a cup of coffee. Gosh darn it.
That's right. Well, you know, people can spend what they want, but In the case I was talking about on my blog, in which they were talking about closing a couple of underperforming stores, but these were in neighborhoods that have been underserved by national chains in general and by coffee chains in particular, and they were, some people there were very, very, very upset. They think these stores might be closing, and I thought, well, if you want to petition the company and to keep it open and maybe tell them that one of the reasons you buy their coffee is because they have this national image as good guys, people who care about the environment, people who care about people, and you could maybe persuade them that your willingness to buy a $7 latte on Michigan Avenue was partially tied into the fact that they would keep open a store on Stony Island Boulevard.
Right. Well,
maybe they would readjust their calculus a bit.
Now, maybe this is bigger than Starbucks, though. Maybe this is all about the creation by a lot of companies, Barnes & Noble among them, Starbucks, and a lot of independent places, of this kind of private sector public space, these sort of parks inside commercial spaces that people really, really love. They may not be revenue producers, but people don't want them to go away.
Exactly. That was the whole Starbucks desire when they created this brand, when they created this chain, to turn these stores into places where people gathered, to make them, as you said, even almost public parks. And so once you persuade people in that mind that Starbucks is more than just a shop for coffee, it's a store where people pull up their laptops or they gather or they meet at Starbucks and talk, then losing one is more than simply a dollars and cents decision.
Well, Phil Vitale very, very persuasively making the case that Starbucks has created a bit of a national park monster with its public spaces, and attempting to roll them back has produced an outrage. Phil Vitale is a restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for joining us, Phil.
My pleasure.
People in Chicago disappointed. Maybe they should go back to Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger.
Ah, the Billy Goat Tavern.